Hi, I'm Maria Theoharis of LSOs on social media. Welcome back to So Over 50 podcast on So Organized Stealth. Grab a cuppa and relax with us.
Like I said before, if my brother had shared with us his mental illness diagnosis, we would have understood his behaviour a lot better, but we didn't know that. I mean, it leaves you feeling with a lot of regret and could you have done something differently to support the individual?
That's Lisa of so_what73. Today's podcast features Lisa in a discussion where she reveals the heartbreaking story behind her dedication to posting missing person posters on her Instagram account, intertwined with her love for sewing. What you'll also hear is how the sewing community has embraced both her love of sewing and her commitment to making sure that these posters are on her Instagram account. Please be aware the discussion includes topics that might be distressing. Thank you to the Patreon supporters of So Organized Style Podcast. Your monthly contribution keeps me producing these episodes for free. So Over 50 intersects with all communities. We're a community that is so over ageism. We're positively leading, being visible in the sewing world.
Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Maria.
How are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Fine, thanks. I'm really pleased that you could come on the podcast today.
I'm delighted that you asked me. Really flattered.
That's okay. Normally I start off and ask people how when they started sewing and what they do. But I wanted to get to the crux of why I asked you onto the podcast. Where can people find you on Instagram?
At so_what73.
The reason you're on Instagram is because you sew, would that be right?
Yeah, definitely. It's mainly documenting my sewing with a little bit of my life.
The fact that you're on Instagram and you're sharing your sewing is actually quite good, because that encourages other people to do the type of sewing that you do if they're curious about whether a pattern works or not.
Yeah, I find it really, really helpful, actually, if I'm considering sewing a pattern that I haven't done before. I always have a look at the hashtag, see what it looks like on a range of different bodies, different fabrics, what kind of thing I like. I also like finding people with similar proportions to me, because then you can really see what works and if you like the look of a pattern. I think it's really, really helpful.
And what's on your sewing table at the moment?
Okay, I've actually got three things lined up. I want to make a spring jacket. We're just getting the daffodils out in the garden. The weather over the winter has been pretty gloomy and rainy, very grey. But, you know, spring is on its way here. I really need a spring jacket. So I'm thinking about, I think it's called the Cortland Trench. It's like a short trench coat by Grainline Studio. And the other thing that I really want to make, which I've never really made before, is a traditional shirt. Buttons down the front,
yeah,
collar, cuffs, all the rest of it. And I've just bought some really beautiful fabric for that project. Those two things are definitely on my to-do list.
Oh, I know that you'll do well because you do so, you love what you're doing and you share your makes. The other thing about your Instagram account is you don't just post up your sewing, you post up people who are missing.
Yeah.
Are you okay to tell us the story about why you do that?
Yes. I was actually talking to my daughter last night about this. I didn't know how much to share, but I've decided this morning I'm going to share both instances of people who have gone missing from my life.
Okay.
And the first person was my youngest brother. He was very ill physically. He had a chronic back condition, which left him in continuous pain, and also he suffered a lot with his mental health.
Yeah.
It was only later on that I found out that he had a mental illness, which actually explained some of his behavior, but we didn't know that at the time. And the last couple of years of his life, he would quite often go off the radar. You couldn't contact him. You know, family members would be texting him, trying to ring him. And for a number of weeks, he would just go off radar. And then all of a sudden, he'd send me a text message saying, "Hi, do you want to meet?" The last time I saw him was in the November. We met for lunch. We had a really, really nice time. I could tell he was physically in a lot of pain. And then he just kind of went off the radar again. All over Christmas, it was quite stressful trying to ring him, trying to contact him. Nobody in the family had heard from him, no friends. I think eventually he made some sort of contact with my mum, very minimal. And then again, nobody heard anything from him for quite a few weeks. And this was in the January. And eventually my mum managed to get the police to do a welfare check.
Right.
Because we hadn't heard from him for so long. And he was actually found dead in his flat. And he'd been dead a number of days. He died earlier that January. So he hadn't gone missing in the sense that he had left anywhere. But it was that sense of panic, not knowing where he was. It was unusual that we just couldn't get in touch with him for so long. And the other person was a very dear friend of mine that I'd known since I was 17. We'd worked together in a clothes shop as young women, became firm friends. And she was just always there throughout my adult life. And she was such a wonderful person. She was a true friend that became more like family than a friend. She worked in retail, and it was December 2020, I think. We'd been in lockdown, the shops were due to open, and we'd had a conversation on the phone the week before. She was saying she really didn't want to go back to work. She wasn't looking forward to it. She hated her job. Her father was quite elderly and had become ill. She was considering giving up work to go and stay with him and look after him. She said she didn't know what she'd do if he died. Her mother had died about 30 years before. You know, we'd had this very long conversation. So we used to text each other every day. And the night before she was due to go back to work and the shops were opening, we were texting. I was wishing her good luck. Hope it wasn't going to be too awful for her. And the following day, I had noticed she'd been on WhatsApp early in the morning, about 5:30, which I guess would have been the time she would have gotten up to get ready to go to work. She would have had to start work early. So I messaged her again, wishing her luck for the day, tell me how it goes. And I didn't hear anything from her, which was unusual. And I thought, well, she's obviously really, really busy that day, first day reopening. And I didn't hear anything from her for a number of days. And this made me panic. And I was trying to rationalize why that was. And I thought maybe she'd lost her phone. Maybe she'd been in an accident. I started Googling, you know, looking on the local news where she lived, if there'd been any road accidents, things like that, something happened on the tube. And I knew what company she worked for. I couldn't remember what branch of the shop that she worked for. I was thinking, should I ring the company? They're not going to tell me anything.
Yeah.
I thought maybe something had happened to her dad. She'd had to have gone home. I didn't really want to contact him because I knew he was ill. Didn't want to worry him unnecessarily. And this went on for a couple of weeks. And I was in a state of confusion, panic, all kinds of emotions. And I didn't know what to do because she had been there. And then all of a sudden she wasn't there. And in the end, I messaged her sister on Facebook. I didn't know her sister, but I messaged her. I didn't hear anything immediately back from her. And I ended up messaging somebody that I knew she had known a long time, but I didn't know if they were still in touch or anything.
Yeah.
I contacted him via Facebook and he actually rang me immediately. This was after about 2 weeks of not hearing from her. And he told me that he did live nearby. They still saw each other a lot. And he also had become concerned that she hadn't responded. And he eventually had contacted her landlord, who had gained entry to the flat, and she had been found dead. It seems like she had got up for work that morning, was getting ready, collapsed and died. And I think after that, those two people who were very dear to me, one day they're there, the next day they're not. And having felt all those emotions when trying to track somebody down, find out what's going on with them, I became quite aware of missing people posts on the local news, in the media, and knowing how I felt, although I got an outcome, I knew what had happened. And just the thought of people trying to find out what's happened to their loved one, maybe for months, years, sometimes even decades, I cannot imagine what that must do to a family. And I looked into Missing People, which is a charity in the UK, and they work with an international organisation as well, you know, because I thought, well, is there anything I can do? And one of the very basic things you can do is share the missing posters. They send them out every week via an email newsletter. I have to say, I don't post them every week. I'm not that active on Instagram. You know, I don't post every day. I don't want all of my posts to be missing people. But when you read the people who are missing, you know, they're everyday people. People go missing for all different reasons. You know, they're not all victims of crime. I mean, unfortunately, some of them are. But sometimes somebody feels it's the best thing to do for their family, you know, when actually it's not. And like I said before, if my brother had shared with us his mental illness diagnosis, we would have understood his behavior a lot better, but we didn't know that. I mean, it leaves you feeling with a lot of regret, and could you have done something differently to support the individual? And I think that's why I post. I'm really not expecting somebody who looks at my Instagram account to have seen these people who are missing. I think I'm just trying to raise awareness that these organisations do exist to actually help not only the families, but also the people who have gone missing. They can act as a way to let the families know that they're safe, it's their choice, or not, try and mediate. So I think that's why I do it. I've become very aware of those missing people posts, and I think you see them quite frequently, but you know, perhaps they don't necessarily register with you. But I having experienced that kind of sense of panic and confusion, I think it's important to share.
And look, thank you for sharing that on the podcast with me. On the blog post for this podcast, I'll put up as many links as I can for those organisations in the English-speaking countries that I can find, because I think it's something that you've experienced, that you've been brave enough to share with us, and also you're putting it on your Instagram account. And, you know, I looked at it and I thought, why is Lisa doing this? Something must have happened. And from my perspective, I just want to say thank you for thinking about how you've experienced this And maybe other people might also help those who have gone missing and their families of the people that have gone missing. So thank you.
Thank you, Maria.
That's all right. I mean, we could go on about the sewing and, you know, when you started, but I thought that the reasoning behind your putting up the missing persons post was probably more important for listeners to hear.
Obviously, I only post people who are missing in the UK, the Missing People charity, but there are organisations all over, and unfortunately there are missing people all over and families who probably can't grieve properly because they don't know what's happened. And that must be such a stressful thing. And the ripples that it has, you know, are huge, really. And also, I'm quite happy if people want to discuss anything with me, I'm quite happy for them to reach out to me. I'm happy to talk to people if they've experienced something similar and they just want somebody to talk to. That's fine. I'm more than happy to talk to people.
And people can contact you via direct message on your Instagram account.
Yes, they can. When you sign up to download a poster from the Missing People website, there's something you sign. They keep a record of who's downloaded the poster. And if the person is found, they request that you take it down, which I do, because they say people are entitled to their privacy.
Lisa, what steps can people take if they feel that they would like to let others in the Instagram community know about missing persons in their country, in their local area?
There's an organisation that I'm aware of called Locate International. And they work with Missing People charity here in the UK. You can go onto their website. They will have details of all sorts of people internationally. I think find an organisation that works in your country and they might operate similarly to Missing People, where you can download the posters, put them up. I no longer work in an office. I don't have a physical space to post these things, which is why I do it on my Instagram account. But if you can share and raise awareness of who is missing, maybe in your locality, and there will always be a contact number for that, the individual or somebody who might have seen them. There's also a Missing People podcast, which also shares information about people who've gone missing in the UK and in Ireland, actually. And they always say it could just be one person who has one piece of information that could actually find the missing individual.
Lisa, what has been the response of the sewing community?
I have to say that the sewing community is wonderful. And it's something I discovered a while ago. I've made some very, very positive relationships with people I've met through sewing, and I've met people in real life who I met online, and even people who have seen some of the posts about loss and they've contacted me and they've become real life friends. There is something very positive about the sewing community. I'm quite an introverted person. I have really pushed myself to put myself out there, meet people in real life, attend events. I'm going to a 2-day workshop, which I'm really looking forward to. You know, it's just a great thing. It is a great thing. People who are more active on social media than I am, I find it brilliant because you keep the momentum going, and that's good.
Lisa, thanks for coming onto the podcast to share your story, and I'll make sure that all of the Missing Person charity links are on the podcast show notes and on the blog post. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Maria. It's been great to talk to you.
This episode of Sober 50 Podcast on Soul Organised Style was produced by me, Maria Theoharis, with permission of Lisa, sound by bensound.com. Many thanks to the ongoing support of the podcast Patreon contributors, Their ongoing support enables me to develop these podcasts for free. Make sure you direct message Sandy and the editors of Sober 50 on Instagram to contribute to the ongoing posts and challenges the team provides to the community every day. You can subscribe to Soul Organized Style Podcast, but with an S not a Z on all good podcast apps. Make sure you go back and listen to our free Sober 50 podcast archive on Soul Organized Style Podcast. We look forward to joining you in your sewing room next time. Stay safe, everyone.